I just bought a beautiful home, but now I need a loan. This time on Mortgages Made Simple.
Mortgages Made Simple with Rick Gunzik, helping you get the best home loan possible. Sponsored by Pacific Residential Financing at pacificresidential.com. And now, here's your host, mortgage expert Rick Gunzik.
Welcome to Mortgages Made Simple, where we help you understand the complicated world of mortgages and help you get the best home loan possible. And joining me, as always, is my favorite Santa's helper, co-producer and co-host, or actually the producer, Douglas E. Welch from WelchRight.com. Doug, how are you doing on this Christmas weekend?
We are doing great, Rick. We've had a little bit of rain here. It's feeling a little more like Christmas than it usually does here in Los Angeles. Just a quick little note, as of today, this show, we now have a Mortgages Made Simple mailing list up and running. You can actually join that mailing list and get tips and tidbits and other information directly from Rick in your email box. You can sign up for that mailing list by visiting the website pacificresidential.com/show, and you'll see a link on the website. You just put in your email, hit subscribe, and start to get all that mortgage goodness directly from Rick's fingers to your email box.
Well, that sounds too good to be true, almost. But anyway, Doug, today we're going to be talking about the loan approval process. What happens when you're actually, ready to buy a home or even refinance? Same kind of process follows. We're going to be talking about that and where you go and what you do. And we actually talked about this back in July. I'll post the link to the show on the link for this blog on this show. And it we kind of gave a little checklist then on what you need to bring to your loan officer. But we're going to hit this run and let you know what you need to do to get your loan approved. So first, Doug, we're going to start with choosing your loan officer, because that's probably the most important part of this process.
Okay, so, I mean, we've talked a little bit about loan officers in the past and about how to pick a good one, but let's review that information and give people a really good highlight to what they need.
Okay, I think what the most important thing to do here is go ask your friends and neighbors and people that your trusted group, and ask them who they use for their loan, because they either got ripped off or they got a good deal, and almost no in between. It's basically you got a good deal and you felt comfortable with it, or you just got taken to the cleaners. And unfortunately, this industry has that reputation, so it's very important to get referrals on that. And don't think that if you go to a bank, it's going to be any better, because they've got, not all banks, so don't come running after me, banks, but some banks do the same process where the loan officer is in charge of the points and fees that are charged, whereas some other banks are much more regimented and much more disciplined, and their loan officers are only able to charge what the bank says they can charge. That's the kind of bank you'd want to use. Generally, the bigger banks are that way, the Wells Fargos and the B of A's. They basically have everything in the computers, and the loan officers quote what the computer tells them to quote. So it's a much safer way to go. But if you're using a mortgage broker, a mortgage banker, or a small bank, definitely be sure to trust your loan officer. And that's why you want to ask your friends and who they use, because they'll know, what kind of deal they got. And it's very important, because this industry is very easy to become a loan officer in. So you can get a lot of people that don't have a lot of experience and a lot of people that just don't understand it. And you can make a lot of money in this industry if you're a good loan officer. So you'll get a lot of people coming into this industry just for that purpose. And that's what you want to avoid, because the typical loan doesn't take a lot of work. I mean, it takes a lot of knowledge to make it not take a lot of work, but it's not a very time-intensive job. So they certainly shouldn't be making $25,000 or $30,000 on you, which I've seen loan officers make, which just makes my stomach crawl, Doug. It's one of my pet peeves. But so definitely ask your friends and neighbors who they use for their loan officer, and ask them if they got a good deal or not, or if they felt comfortable using them, and if they felt the person was knowledgeable. And then by all means, call that person, and don't be afraid to interview the loan officer. Ask them how long they've been in the business, what kind of loans they usually sell. If they say something like they sell option arms, run to the nearest, exit.
Option arms. I hope that everyone out there listening, and I hope they've told all their friends as well, have gone running in the opposite direction whenever they hear that term, option arm. Remember that, boys and girls, you do not want an option arm.
Exactly. The typical loan, you're going to be a 30-year fixed rate loan or a 5-year ARM if you're not planning to live in a house very long that's fixed at a certain rate and doesn't adjust every month, which an option ARM would do. So you want to make sure that they, interview them, ask them a few questions, ask them what kind of loans they like to sell, ask them what they generally charge their borrowers. I mean, if they're honest, they'll tell you. Because like here, we got nothing to hide. If someone said, what do we try to make on a loan? We'll tell them. And in the good faith estimate, which is important, what they'll do with you when you take a loan application with them, they're supposed to disclose to you how much money they are making. Okay, so that's very important. So let's get down to it. Basically,
well, let me interrupt you real quick. You said they have to show how much they're making on you. Where would someone look on their loan documents to see something like that?
Okay, when you first start the loan application, what happens is a loan officer has to fill out what's called a good faith estimate. That's every state is required to do that. California has a 2-page form, which is a little more complicated because we like to do things that way. but at the very bottom of it, there's two places. At the very top, it has a line that says loan origination fee and loan discount fee. Now, the loan origination fee is generally an FHA term for a federal, housing administration loan, but people still use it on conventional loans, and that's typically 1 point. And then what a loan discount fee is supposed to be is if you're asking to get a better rate and you want to, if let's say 6.5 is the going rate today, but you want 6, that would be a loan where a loan discount fee fits in. It's supposed to be what it's costing you to make the rate lower.
Okay.
And then also at the very bottom of the good faith, and this gets complicated, people, so just shut me up anytime and ask questions. But at the very bottom of the good faith estimate, it says yield spread premium paid to broker by lender. And what that means is if you sell a loan to another institution, because we sell our loans, but if you're a broker, generally you'll send it to them and you sell them to them too effectively. They give you a certain percentage back depending upon the rate that you give the borrower. So let's say, for instance, the going rate of the day is 6.5, but you send them or sell them a 7% loan, they're going to give you, let's say, a 1-point rebate for doing that. So if it's a $300,000 loan, the bank is going to give you $3,000 for sending that loan to them. Also, the loan officer will charge the borrower a point, let's say. So now they've made 1 point charging the borrower and 1 point from selling the loan to the bank. So they've made 2 points. So they make $6,000 on that loan. Now, granted, they split that with the company they work for, but that's typically how a loan officer gets paid. That's why you kind of want to ask them what they generally try to make, because if they say 1 to 2 points, that's pretty normal. I mean, that's pretty standard in the industry. When you start seeing people rip people off, they get into the 2.5-3 point range, and then they're just making far too much money.
Right. So basically, we want to check out that good faith estimate, regardless of what state you're in, and just kind of look for these things about how much that broker is actually making on your particular loan then.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask. Say, hey, this is 1 point here, but you didn't fill out this spot. How much are you making? And if they hedge and run in circles, then they're trying to hide something from me.
Let's head back to the approval process here itself. I just wanted to get that in because
seems
like a real important piece of information just to tell people and say, here's where to look, on this form to see. So
exactly.
The loan approval process. Let's go back.
Okay.
To that.
So once you pick your loan officer, what he does is he'll interview you either over the phone or in person. Depending on the people, we just judge them. And some people like to be met in person, which we kind of like to do too. It gives you more of a homey process. Some people like to do everything over the phone or even through the internet. So just whatever is happening, you can do it that way. And generally the loan officer will interview you and they go through a thing called a 1003. It's a loan application. Basically it asks for your name, address, social security number, where you've lived, where you've worked, how much money you have in the bank, and what other real estate you might own.
Well, basically then, everything about you is what it wants to know.
Exactly. And a good loan officer will take 10, 15 minutes to fill that out, and then they'll start explaining the loan to you. Generally, they'll fill out the loan application, and that'll kind of give them an idea what kind of loan they can give you and what kind of loan, how much of a home you can afford. Now, it's important, in our intro, we say, I bought a beautiful home, now I need a loan, which is I kind of did it ironic on purpose, because typically you should find your loan first and then go find your home. Because what you want to find out from your loan officer is how much of a home you'll qualify for. Because once you fill out that application, they'll say, okay, you can qualify for a home worth, $500,000, or you can qualify for a home worth $250,000. So you want to find out first so you don't go buy a house that's more than you can afford, which is what got everybody into trouble in the last 2 years. So
yeah, I know that was very important in our own purchase of our home that I'm sitting in right now. Was that we did get pre-approved. We knew exactly how much we had a loan for, so that when we were negotiating with, in this our case, negotiating with a bank, we could basically say, here's what we've got. We could kind of lay it all on the table at the very end and say, if you want to sell the house, this is what it's going to sell for.
Exactly, and that's why it's important to meet the loan officer first, because he'll get you an approval, and then you can go better armed to your negotiation table and say, look, I'm approved right now. here's what I got. So the loan officer will kind of give you that information. Then they'll go over the good faith estimate, which we were just talking about. And on that good faith estimate, what they do is they estimate all the fees that you will incur by getting this loan. And they'll put the escrow and title fee and everything. That's very important. Make sure they spend a lot of time going over that. In fact, we did a show on that too, and I'll post the link to that. So once they get the good faith done in your loan application, there's a few disclosures that you'll have to sign to. The disclosures basically tell you that we will not discriminate against you on race, and we will not discriminate, you know, race, gender. It's the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, so we won't discriminate.
Right.
And we don't anyway. We'll take a loan from anybody. We're happy to help people. So in that form, and there's a Fair Credit Reporting Act, there's the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, there's the good faith. And basically all these things are just telling you that, you know, if you feel like you're taking advantage of it anyway, you can report us to the Department of Real Estate or the, you know, the Department of Finance or what have you, whatever state you're in. So you sign those disclosures, and then what the loan officer does is he gets this stuff from you. The other thing they do, some loan officers will do and some don't, is if you want to pay for the appraiser, you're going to need an appraisal, of course. The appraiser, you can pay for him at the door when he comes to appraise your house, or you can give the loan officer a check for that. Most companies like to have you pay the appraiser directly because that way we're not involved in that part of it. And yeah, so typically exactly. They'll have you pay the appraiser directly. So at that point, the loan officer will take all this information he gathered from you. And also, they might ask you for your pay stubs. It's a 2-2-2 thing we've talked about on some previous shows. 2 years W-2s, 2 pay stubs, which is typically a month's worth of pay stubs. We want a month's worth of earnings. Those are your current pay stubs. And then 2 recent bank statements. That way, we don't have to send out for verification from your bank. So the loan officer will ask you for these 3 things, the 2-2-2, 2 years W-2s, 2 months bank statements, and 2 pay stubs. And then they'll collect all this information and go back to their office. Now, what happens once they get to their office is they'll usually give this loan to a processor. Now, the processor is the one that runs all your paperwork on your loan. They'll order the escrow and title. We've talked about that in previous shows, too. They'll order the escrow and title, and they'll order that appraisal. And then what they do, the processor essentially collects all the information that we need to get your loan approved. So they collect the pay stubs and W-2s and bank statements that the loan officer brought back. And then they'll collect the escrow and title and appraisal once those come back from the respective companies. Typically, all this takes about, you know, 7 to 10 days. The appraisal is usually the thing that takes the longest just because the appraiser has to try and make an appointment with someone to meet them out at the house. So sometimes if there's scheduling conflicts, that can take a little longer. So once all that information is collected, then the loan is, and it depends on the company. We run everything through automated underwriting engines. And then we give them to a human underwriter to review everything and make sure it was done right. Some companies just send it straight to a human underwriter. But typically what we'll do is once we get all the stuff back from the loan officer before we order the appraisal, escrow, and title, we'll run it through an automated underwriting engine just to see if it asks for any more information. Like maybe there's a glitch on the credit report or something like that that we have to take care of. We want to find out up front so we can start taking care of that before the rest of the loan gets moving along. At our company, like I mentioned, we'll run it through the automated underwriting system first, make sure there's no problems with the credit and the approval that we're going to get. And then once we get the escrow, title, and appraisal, we'll give it to the actual human underwriter. And she'll make sure everything's okay, or he. Is everything okay with the appraisal? Are the comparables nearby, the other homes that the appraiser's using to determine the value? Is the property free of any liens? They'll look at the prelim to figure out that stuff. And so basically, they just look at everything and they re-verify everything to make sure it all makes sense. And then at that point, the underwriter will issue a loan approval. And loan approvals almost always have what we call conditions. And the conditions are things that the underwriter needs to be able to, basically it's to be able to so we can sell the loan. But in the underwriter's eyes, it's everything we need in order to move forward with the loan. And typically, this would be something like, let's say the appraiser had a bad comparable that was too far away. Comparables are supposed to be within a mile, and let's say this one's 6 miles away. So they might ask for an additional comp from the appraiser. Or if there's like a collection account on the credit report, they'll ask that the collection account be paid off when the loan closes. So stuff like that they'll ask for. And typically, when we're running through automated underwriting engines, there's not a lot of extraneous conditions that the loan officer hasn't already asked for. If your loan officer is not very experienced, and this is why it's important to pick a good loan officer, you'll have a bunch of conditions. They might ask for your pay stubs and bank statements and everything because they didn't get it up front. So that's why it's very important to interview your loan officer and make sure they have a lot of experience because they've been through it, you know, 1,000 times. They know what the underwriters are going to ask for. typically, we know we can look at a loan when it comes in and say, oh, you forgot this, that, and that. You might as well get it before you send it to underwriting because they're going to ask for it anyway. So, and also you want to keep the underwriter in a good mood because the more conditions they have to ask for, they might get cranky and decline your loan or something. So we always like to keep the underwriters happy. But after the underwriter issues the approval, then the processor collects what the underwriter is asking for. And once they collect all those conditions, that's when they order your loan documents. And those are the documents that you sign that become, that's where your note and your trust deed, the important papers in a loan file, get signed. And that's when your loan really hits the, that's where it all comes down to what it's all about. That's where the loan has the interest rate and that kind of information. Now, before your loan documents are ordered, though, typically your loan officer will call you and say, congratulations, you're approved. I can get you this rate, you know, 6.5 for no points, or I can get you 6% for 1 point or something like that. Now, this is where you want to have a copy of your good faith, too, because you can say something like, well, gee, when you came out, you promised me 5.5. So that's important to keep a copy of that good faith when you get done with your loan officer, when you first meet them, tell them to send you a copy in the mail. And they're required to send you a copy in the mail within 3 days, but make sure they do. So that's where it all comes down to the bottom, when they ask you to lock your rate, and then that's when they order your loan documents. And then what happens after that point is the loan officer or the escrow officer will call you, or if you're out of the state of California, a title attorney will call you and ask you to come sign your loan documents. And that's basically it in a nutshell, Doug, and that's the loan approval process.
Two quick questions here to kind of wrap things up today. That is, once you are approved, how long does that approval last? If you're like, we were actively looking for a home, but you had not yet found a home when we got to the point of being approved for the loan. So how long would that lock-in on the interest rate last?
On the lock-in on the interest rate, lock-ins on interest rates are generally 30 days. Now, the approval, though, is generally good for 60 days because our credit reports are good for 60 days. After 60 days, we need to run a new credit report.
Okay, and finally, how long does this process usually take?
Unfortunately, nowadays it takes about a month still. We're trying to slim that down. In our company, since we do the automated underwriting, we try to get it down to 2.5-3 weeks. But most companies are still running about a month now. So count on a month. The quicker companies count on about 3 weeks.
Well, that tells you folks out there listening that if you're thinking of getting into buying a home, you're thinking of getting a home loan, start early because it does take a while to get through the process.
Thank you for joining us on Mortgages Made Simple. And be sure to join us next week where we answer a few listener questions and give you insight into the mortgage industry.
For more information, visit the website at pacificresidential.com. There you can find past shows, interesting blog posts, and more. Do you have a question for Rick? Email mortgagepodcast@gmail.com or call our listener line at 714-519-7833. If you listen to Mortgages Made Simple directly from the website, please consider subscribing. It's free and you'll receive each new episode automatically. You'll find a link on the website, pacificresidential.com. Are you looking for a great home loan? Call Pacific Residential at 888-868-2198. Tell your loan officer you're a podcast listener and receive a free credit report. If you later get your loan through Pacific Residential, when your loan closes, we'll refund the appraisal fee for podcast listeners. This show is a production of Welchrite.com, WELCHWRITE.com.